baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goes, Ari's co-host. Monday, September 2nd, Goes, how you doing? How was your Labor Day weekend, even though it's not done?
It's not done yet, yeah, you're right. But so far, so good. Had a lot of fun this weekend.
Yeah, you broke your back in the garage, but then you went out and saw some funny people, some comedians, and hung out with a junkie.
Our garage was a black hole, but somehow we got, or still not done, but almost there. And then, yeah, had some fun.
It was about a category two that went through there. You and Mom and Laura, apparently.
Uh-huh.
All right, yeah. Great stuff. That was a nice surprise. I lifted up the garage door when I came home from Cali. And
thought you were in the wrong house.
I did, but it all looked very good. And not to make light of anything, but there is a huge hurricane on the East Coast. So to all of our Junkie Nation listeners out there, I hope you're all safe. I think last I checked, that thing was going to maybe head out north and maybe it'll just go out to sea and, you know, finish itself out and not hit that eastern coastline. But, man, the Bahamas got ravaged. And one other thing goes, Junkie Nation, we love them, our listeners. This is a different type of intro. I realize that. And we'll get to all of the hot news, including the new UFC strawweight champion. But shout out to Joe from Odessa, a listener of ours, who we might save this for Thursday, but a listener of ours who was a little too close for comfort in that terrible shooting in Odessa, Texas. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with that city. Now, with that behind us, let's talk about the big stuff from this past weekend, including the UFC Shenzhen China card. Here we go. All right, folks, so UFC on ESPN plus 15, Andrade versus Zhang, took place this past Saturday. It was really, really early in the Saturday morning here in the Pacific time and the Eastern Coast time, so the United States. And, of course, it was an afternoon affair. The UK people loved it. But, yeah, it took place in Shenzhen, China, and it included a main event, which had Willy Zhang defeating Jessica Andrade, and she claimed the strawweight title goes along the way in 42 seconds. It was almost a perfect fight. And by the way, Jessica Andrade is no joke. I could not believe my eyes. This was like 5 a.m. for me, and I had to like rub my eyes a few times to say, what the heck is going on? Is this like a highlight, or did somebody imagining what's the best case scenario? But as it unfolded, Willy Zhang just put it on Jessica Andrade, put Jessica Andrade, got nothing off, goes nothing at all. And so history in the making here, a new champion and the first champion for the UFC to have a Chinese fighter on the stable.
Yeah, that's huge for them, man. I mean, they've been wanting to, they have that Performance Institute now in China. I mean, things are really booming for that sport over there. But I think when we broke this fight down, we said, if this is a fight that ends early, it's probably going to be Jessica Andrade on that side of that. I was shocked. Like, Willy Zhang, she fought Jessica Andrade the way Jessica Andrade we thought was going to fight her. Mirror image. She came forward. She started throwing with everything. I mean, you're right, not to make light of the hurricane, but that's how Jessica Andrade fights. It's that Wanderlei Silva style. And Willy Zhang did that to her. Mm-hmm. It was insane. And that, oh my God, that card, though, was so early here on the West Coast for us. If I wasn't a Manchester United fan and didn't have that motivation of watching both things, that was rough to get through.
It sure was. We're not 20 and 30 or whatever ages we were when we were used to stay up for Pride back in the early part of the millennium, the new millennium. Yeah, it is a lot rougher, and I'm more of a main card guy nowadays anyway, and then I'll go back and just fast forward through everything else, especially these ESPN Plus cards. But I do like that fluffy guy, Anthony Hernandez. Yeah. I love his hands and meeting him here in studio, he's just an interesting character. So I did catch his fight right before we got to the main card. But look, it was entertaining. It was good for the UFC, good for the country of China, which produces great athletes in many sports. And I've always felt like at some point they are going to make their mark in this sport. And this is one heck of a booster.
I think what hurts a little bit is the breaks in between fights. To me, that's what's kind of brutal. If it were just one after another, I think I could get through it. But it's the breaks where you just your eyes start to doze off. I mean, it really is a rough card. And I'm happy to hear that it looks like her next fight is going to be stateside. So that's a good thing for us.
Well, there you go. Perfect segue there. So first of all, congratulations to Weili Zhang. And Jessica Andrade was very classy in defeat. And I'm sure because she's been pretty destructive along the way that... You know, she really didn't have a title defense, but still, I believe at some point she'll be just rotated in, you know, when we talk about what is next for Weili Zhang. And so Weili Zhang, I guess Dana White saying, I got to get her stateside. And I get what he's saying. More than likely, see, how do you capitalize on the most populated country and penetrating into that most populated country? A lot of the media were saying, she's got to fight in China. You know what I mean, straight up, which I guess I agree with. And but if Dana White's thinking she's a huge star, like we think she can be again, because not well, she actually looks really, really good, man. She's like 21 and 1 now or something like that. So she's got a great record. Speaks a little bit of English. I think at the end she said, "Remember my name." Mm-hmm. But I mean, she's got some really, really nice hands. So I think she doesn't. She really, really does have some star power. But he's saying something about stateside, and I get that. That must mean to me. UFC, right? UFC pay-per-views, a numbered pay-per-view. But she was also quick to push back and say, fix them visas. Now, you were clarifying that she meant more her team.
Yeah, so her cornermen, I think there was a fight where they weren't able to get some of them out there. And, you know, obviously, if you're training with these people, they're leading the charge, the game plan, and one of them doesn't show up, that's pretty rough. It's happened for a lot of fighters in Canada early on. Canada's very strict. So, yeah, for that to happen, I understand why she would want something like that, a stipulation. But the good thing is she's cleared. She's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and who would you have her fight next?
I think Tatiana Suarez probably makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Everybody else is kind of tied up. I think that's good. The thing is, when you have, like, a dominant champion, anytime they lose, you want that rematch. Some of them just kind of they just deserve that immediate rematch. And you would think Jessica Andrade is probably one of them. The only thing that can trump that is if somebody just gets blasted. If somebody loses early, kind of like what happened with Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier, you get that pass where other names can be thrown into the hat. And I think this is that situation.
One of my criteria for being considered for an instant rematch was if you had a bunch of title defenses or if you're just a huge name in the sport and mm-hmm. you deserve that respect because of the time you put in and the great fights that you've had along the way. Or if it was a classic, it was kind of none of those. So I'm not that interested in the run back, but I do give a lot of respect for what Jessica did along the way since she lost to Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I mean, she hurt a lot of girls, man, on her way to gaining the title. So I will give her that, but I think she'll need to get a fight before she can fight for the title again. I agree with Suarez. She hurt her neck at UFC 238 in Chicago, and I guess she's been having ongoing neck issues dating back to her wrestling days. So I'm thinking if she can't go, maybe the winner, Watterson and Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
It could be, yeah. They always classify that injury. They never really get too specific with it. They always just call it a stinger. Mm-hmm. But she's had it over and over throughout her lifetime.
Yeah, and Joanna, you know, she'll be pushing for that because even though she's had her bad run of title fights as of late, she is a big name. She had a bunch of title defenses. The UFC likes her. She speaks English. She talks a little bit of smack. So she always just seems to be in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. you know, for that type of consideration. Well, so good on her.
When we broke down this fight, though, I had mentioned that Jessica Andrade was already kind of looking, I don't want to say passing, but towards the future. You know, she was saying, I'll move up, I'll fight Valentina. Do you feel like at all that she overlooked her opponent?
No. I mean, that's what one will point to, those quotes. But, okay, if you caught Dan Tom's breakdown, he said Weili Zhang in the first round, it's going to tell us a lot because he pointed out a few of the athletes that had, you know, that were able to touch Zhang, like Danielle Taylor, I believe, and Tisha Torres. What we felt was that along the way, remember Andrade pointing back to just her title fight, she was getting lit up by Rose Namajunas. And so along the way, she does get, she does take some damage, but then all of a sudden she turns it on because she's more of a, hey, over 25 minutes, let's see what's up now. You know what I mean? She does not stop. She's got a motor. She'll slam you. She'll punch you. She'll just explode. And so I think it was, look, Weili Zhang, she had never been, you know, in that type of fight with that type of a fighter. So who knows how it would have played out. But she was so efficient and so pinpoint, I guess it didn't matter. But I don't think so, goes. I think she respects all of her opponents. I think it's... I just don't want her to think that because I love it when fighters can forecast. I think as human beings, we all forecast and look ahead. Too many are just trained to say, oh, no. And the reason is because they don't want this to blow up in their face. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, staying with the country of China, which I think this is going to be huge for the country of China. Do you think Li Jingliang, who defeated Ezequiel Dos Santos, went a bit too far when he said, this was his quote, world will see China's MMA power after UFC Shenzhen. I mean... if he's saying immediately, I feel like saying, tap the brakes, pal. That was a great event, but it took us a long time for you guys to just get to this. And this may spurn a few fighters. They may be remember when Conor McGregor was inspired by Chuck Liddell?
Yeah.
Like at a card 10 years before he even exploded? I could see something like that maybe in 5-10 years. Wow, we have two Chinese champions, maybe a third contender. But I don't know about just yet. I mean, there's a lot of talent all over the world. It's tough to become a champ.
I always think of, like, the impact that Brazil had right away, even Canada. I would probably...
Wait, are you talking about the population or the fighters?
Both.
There weren't that many Canadian fighters.
But they had GSP.
Yeah, but after that you had, what, McDonald, contender, and then after that, Stout, Hordeski.
If you go back to, like, Pride...
The rest would just be fighters, but not contenders. Yeah. He's making it sound like we're going to be a power, so... Is Russia even a power yet? I don't know. They're getting there. They have a lot of fighters, but I'd like to know more about what he was implying to that. I think that's something that's difficult to get to.
I mean, they just kind of remind me of what happened in Mexico. You have a couple cards there, and there's a couple standouts here and there, but I don't see anything like – I don't see any standing power, mm-hmm. something that's going to stick around for a while. I think they're still trying to figure things out over there.
Well, it was a fun card. I'm glad I woke up and caught it. And to finish out the main card, Kai Kara France defeated Mark De La Rosa. Song Kanan defeated Derek Krantz. And Mizuki Inoue defeated Wu Yanan. So there you have it. That was the UFC on ESPN Plus 15 on Draj versus Song. And if you want to get all the pertinent details to this card, go to MMA Junkie. Check out that results tab at the top. It'll give you the... you know, all of the information here for that card and everything that took place this past weekend and even just, you know, in previous months. I think it's a wonderful tab. Wonderful resource. Schedule, by the way, is what's upcoming. All right. And speaking of what's upcoming goes, UFC 242 is upcoming, and they had some press conferences this past week. One thing that caught my attention was Habib saying, I don't have a lot of fights ahead. He's only 30, and he hasn't fought that much recently. And what confuses me is he's kind of big on this legacy thing. Well, where's the legacy? I mean, you beat Conor in the biggest pay-per-view fight ever in mixed martial arts. Kind of destroyed him. You've kind of destroyed everybody. Much respect, Khabib. You're undefeated. Much respect again. You're number one in the USA Today Sports and MMA Junkie rankings. But the legacy, I think, comes after you win the title by leaving more dead bodies. Or, God, that's terrible. But mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I thought that was a weird comment, but I think it makes sense in the sense that fighters, it's going to be more of the norm. Those guys at the top are making more money. This is a brutal sport, not just the fights, but the training, what your body goes through. And a lot of them have some kind of background, you know, like Habib wrestling, where they've been doing this since they were a kid, and I think they just want that break. Now they're making the type of money where they don't have to stick around as long. I think careers will be a little bit shorter. And a guy like Khabib, I mean, I kind of get it, but I think when a fighter says something like that, he probably has about four left in him, I would say.
Well, one of them better be Tony Ferguson, and I think it will be. honestly, the only one that can derail Tony Ferguson at this point is the UFC slash Conor McGregor.
Or Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. But Poirier and Khabib, in both of their separate press conferences, said they feel like Tony Ferguson should be next. And hopefully that is the case. That fight's going down on Saturday. We'll do more of a preview job for that on Thursday's show. You had something on
to be what really came out of that for me, actually the last 2 weeks, is this is terrible news for Conor McGregor. Because Conor McGregor's name is always attached to those big fights. And Khabib has done a great job of just shutting that down. And really, even going back to Nate Diaz did a good job of shutting that down. And those are two names that Conor is always attached to, that we always feel like all Conor has to do is snap his fingers and he can make that magic happen. If I'm Conor McGregor and I'm on the couch, I'm thinking, whoa, things have really changed for me here.
Well, yeah, you're right. Both fighters shut him down. But I believe that he can get the Diaz fight. And the reason is because if Diaz and Dana White are negotiating their pay, his pay, for the Masvidal fight, I'm going to be generous here. And I say that Dana White tells him, all right, listen, man, you got me. You're a needle mover. But I need you in Masvidal in New York or Vegas or wherever. Look, let's just cut to the chase. $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million, whatever. All right? That's where it's going to top out there, guys. But if Conor, if he says, Conor, just call me, and he says he's ready, and this one's big because you guys, prior to Khabib and Conor, held the record or knocked on the door. I think one of them knocked on the door. The other one broke the record. So you're up there, and I know the third one will be even bigger. That's where I can get you at least $5 million, dog. See, I think Diaz would go, oh, give me the $5 million, dog. You know what I mean? I
think so.
Whereas Khabib, I think Khabib will go, money does not motivate me. He's got money.
They're so stubborn, though, and, these two guys.
And I think he would get more pleasure in Conor not getting the big payday than him losing out on a big payday. Because he has a lot of Instagram followers. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can probably call up the President Putin of Russia. You know, he kind of like, you know, rubs elbows with a lot of the big names, you know, in the Middle East. He's just had quite a whirlwind, an unofficial whirlwind tour. Some shady characters along the way, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But still, regardless, I think he could actually shut it down and say nope, and he would take more pleasure again in Conor missing out on the big pay. Diaz is different. I think Diaz will be like, all right, he's not my favorite character, but let's make some money.
I think Nate has a little bit of what you're talking about with Khabib as well. I think he kind of wants to stick it to him a little bit.
To Conor?
I think so.
But along the
I think eventually he'll bend.
That's in his DNA.
Eventually
like
he'll
that.
Break, uh-huh. But I think there's a little piece of him that likes being that A side now. Granted, I don't think he's the
A-side
if they get together, but I think he likes that little switch.
That's a good
point. I
think
there's something to it.
But now, that would be a bigger point, though, if he says, no Conor for now, I'll fight Masvidal and take that $2 million, and then the Conor payday will just either be there or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. Now he controls the narrative. Because if he beats Masvidal, now he's beating another, dare I say, needle mover, just someone that's popping in 2019, you know. That would be tremendous for him. The winner of Masvidal or Diaz actually would be even more bona fide and a bigger star. And then, of course, they could get that Conor McGregor payday. But I think Conor McGregor, I don't know. I don't even want to mention his name as far as fighting. We'll mention him here because he's always in the news.
Nobody else is now.
Yeah, you're right. But I still feel like he's got a lot of stuff to sort out on the personal side. Frankie Edgar wants a piece of him. Wow. At welterweight, he said. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, my God, we just got the guy to commit to bantamweight, 135 pounds. He's been fighting at 45 for the past 5 years. He was a champion at one point at 155. But, no, Frankie, go downward. Now, granted, I know fighters, they're probably, when they're bored and rich, I think they just maybe know I can say something and it'll create a headline and ha-ha-ha, the goof's on you. Maybe that's what he's doing or whatever, but I don't want to see that.
Well, I was with Frankie Edgar at the Performance Institute, I believe it was early last week, and that question was asked. It didn't seem like something that he was fired up about or anything like that, but you could tell that because that was a name that had been mentioned to him for so long early on and he couldn't get that fight, I think there's a piece of him that's always wanted to just complete that. But yeah, he's focused right now. He's focused on other things. The thing that stood out to me that I just thought was ridiculous, where I think he needs to be checked a little bit, is 170. Like, come on, man. There's some 155ers that just were massive compared to Frankie.
Well, look at Max.
Can you imagine 170?
Max's size alone at 45 gave Frankie... Frankie usually can shoot a double and get a lot of people down. Mm-hmm. And Max Holloway, who doesn't even come from wrestling, he was able to mitigate a lot of that type of stuff just because of the range alone. Frankie had to stay out of a certain type of range from his strikes. And so when wrestling came into play, he wasn't able to get one of those nice GSP-esque type timing takedowns because he wasn't able to get close enough. And then by the time he was able to maybe work a single or something, he was so damaged, he was tired that he just wasn't able to finish it. You know what I mean? And I think the same would be with Connor, because Connor's maybe not as tall as Max, but he's just a bigger dude. He's a big 45er who became a 55er.
This fight reminds me a lot of boxing with Floyd and Manny, because it's a fight where if it were to happen today, I think we all wouldn't be happy. We wouldn't be satisfied, because it would happen in a weight class that just, it doesn't need to happen there. I think Frankie Edgar's a completely different fighter. He used to be Conor McGregor's kryptonite, I think, at the time when these fights were being thrown out. And now I think Conor's a little better. It's just not like a representation of what the fans really wanted to see.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's talk about some of the news nuggets that are out there in the sport of mixed martial arts. All right, guys. So we discussed this last week. BJ Penn, of course, getting in fights out there in Hawaii. We're concerned about the guy. 40-year-old man with family, man, by the way, with kids and, you know, super popular, super rich, should not be fighting on a Tuesday at the Lava Shack or whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we discussed that already, and we've already said our P's, you know, P's and Q's there. But Chuck Liddell came out and said something. He said the title, at least, of the piece that I read on MMA Junkie was, BJ Penn's fight should be canceled after getting knocked out in brawl. I thought he was going to go more after a professional shouldn't conduct himself that way, the UFC should blah, blah, blah. He was more concerned about, hey, he took a KO. These fighters have each other's back, man. He was like more like, well, you know what? Didn't he get KO'd? He got KO'd. Let's let him recover from the KO before he fights Lentz. And I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I'm concerned about both guys. But at the same time, I also know that those are grown-ass men with a lot of money and resources. And hopefully they have people around them that should be doing this. It's not my job. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I think he's got a point.
Oh, yeah.
I think he has a point. Like, Penn, if Dana White's still going to give him the last fight, who knows how Dana White's going to react to this. But if he's still going to give him the last fight, let's just worry about this in 2020, and let's see why this happened and how we can fix this. Again, I'll always remember Dana White jumping on a plane to be with Rampage Jackson after he had that little meltdown on the freeway in Southern California, the 55 freeway, and there was a police standoff. I think if you love BJ Penn the same way you loved Rampage, or looked out for your guys, in air quotes, isn't this the time you should hop on a plane and go to Hawaii or figure this out somehow?
I mean, this fight was a tough sell even before all of the stuff that came out. Now with it, to me, this is just too much of a red flag. If I'm in the UFC, I don't do this fight, and I don't even know if I revisit it with BJ Penn. I loved watching BJ Penn fight. I thought he was a great fighter. I thought he put on some exciting fights, but he just can't escape these demons outside. And whether it's him or people provoking him, he just hasn't found the recipe to stay out of trouble.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what winds up happening, but I got a kick a little bit out of Liddell and the angle he took. How about Dominic Cruz as he fires back at Triple C, Henry Cejudo? Henry Cejudo, of course, now is into the whole, you know, I'm either calling out looking for transgender fights. I think he called out Zhang, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not making any sense with
that. So that's a female and 150 pounds, but I think by doing it, he's making it more silly, and I think he's taking the sting off a man fighting a woman. So, mm-hmm. Okay. But, you know, that whole little vignette he did with the diapers and TJ, and then he got all serious and started having that glazed psycho look and came after Dominic Cruz. Well, Dominic fired back. He included a couple dwarfs in it, and basically paralleled and said, hey, that's Henry Cejudo and his coach, Eric Albadacin, you know, two fellows that are shorter men. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of that? What'd you think of it? Was that creative or?
It's all cringeworthy to me.
Is it?
It really is. And
the Dwarves look to get hurt there as they're playing around with guns. And, again, sensitive times here with the guns. But still, he did that prior to Odessa. I just feel like, yeah, you're right. The creativity lacks a little bit, right?
A little bit. But, the smaller fighters don't normally make the big bucks that the bigger fighters make. So I'm sure Henry's getting a taste of it a little bit, and he's trying to create drama to keep these type of things going. But he's just throwing out so many fishing lines that we can't all keep track. We can't really take it seriously. So now we just sit back and laugh a little bit. And I think Dominic can be pretty clever at times, but I think even he knows, all right, enough's enough. He's been dragged into something that's just not really realistic right now.
I agree. Who knows if that fight happens, but it'll be interesting. I guess Henry, the one thing he's doing is he's creating heat with a lot of fighters, and so I think there'll be nice buildups to whatever happens. But more than likely, it will be Joseph Benavidez. All right, Chris Cyborg. Any surprises there, or was that kind of like the worst-kept secret for the last 2 weeks? We kind of knew where she was headed?
Yeah, we kind of knew. The thing is, I still feel like to this day, we haven't seen the last of her in the UFC. Something's got to happen there. But this is pretty big for her career when you think about the things that she's accomplished. When we always do that Mount Rushmore, I think she's definitely going to be on there for women's MMA. But one of those president's heads, I think, is a little bit higher than the other three. And I think in this case, she lost a little ground on that. And I think she needs to get that back. But who knows what these decisions are going to play out for her legacy.
Yeah. Well, she, no matter what, a destructive force. And I think she can just keep adding belts, you know what I mean, to her collection. Let's not forget, Amanda Nunes did have 4 losses prior to this crazy run on. I think she's like a 9-1 run or something like that. But she's done it over legends, and that's what helps Amanda Nunes. It's like all those legends don't have a case because they all got smoked by Amanda Nunes. But Chris Cyborg's had a pretty incredible career, and if she can add another belt to it, then I think we'll all definitely remember her, and she'll remain on Mount Rushmore of women's MMA for a long time.
She's always lacked partners, dance partners. And she had some of those in the UFC. You're right. If there's something that can maybe help out a little bit, it's adding another belt. But I think we're just all going to remember that last fight with Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, I agree.
It's hard to get over that.
All right. Couple last things here. Look, it is fight week. We'll discuss UFC 242 on Thursday's show. But it's really cool stuff that we have. We have I wouldn't say a partnership with the UFC, but the UFC does allow us to use a little bit of their videos. And I think that goes for some of the other sites may have access to this. We have access to some video highlights that you may have seen on those pre-fight shows for Dana White Contender Series. But what I'm getting at is on MMA Junkie right now, you can check out a free fight with Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje, and as well as Khabib Nurmagomedov and Al Iaquinta. So, you know, maybe check out some of their most recent fights there and just get a little bit of an appetizer for Saturday's event, which, by the way, starts at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. I'm going to tell you guys that right now. Goz and I will be on the Sportscaster, and we will be doing an alternative broadcast, kind of calling the action through our eyes, but basically it's just a watch along with you all. Go to sportscaster.com/MMAJunkie. And, yeah, we're just basically watching the fights along with you guys, having fun, having some beers, eating some food, and joking around, just having a good time. Lastly, also, there's a few other stories I want you guys to check out. The U.S. antitrust case, some interesting and divulging type of numbers that are found if you really dig through this, and you can see, you know, some testimony from executives like Joe Silva, former executives, I guess, like Joe Silva, their longtime matchmaker. You can get some figures as far as like a few salaries that were made from certain fights. It's pretty interesting if you dig into it a little bit, but I know that we have a catch up there on our front page. And cool story there on Roots of Fight, a very popular what started out as an MMA brand, now it's a combat sports brand. Now it's a sports brand, right, guys? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you walk into the Las Vegas Fight Shop, shout out to them over there at the southern end of the outlets. That's their new location. They're no longer at the Planet Hollywood. I mean, Roots of Fight is very prominent there, and I guess that's one of their top sellers.
I've heard that rumor for a long time that they're going to dive into other sports. And, yeah, there's a couple shirts I think I would like to have.
Some nice ones, yeah. And Luke Rockhold, having fun with a bull. Check that out. That's also on the front page of MMA Junkie. I'm telling you, the editors, the writers, they hustle. Check out the front page of MMA Junkie. We got stories going up every 30 minutes. And that's it for today. So for Goz and myself, we are out of here. We'll see you on Thursday. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MMA Junkie George, at the Goz. And our radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. It's identical on both spots. We are out of here. Go out there and be a champion. All you Junkie fans, listen up. If you're looking for a sports podcast that's outside the box, where the topics are trending and all of the people speak their minds, listen to our brothers and sister over at For the Win Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and popular apps.
And to catch up with the latest news in golf, check out the Forward Press Podcast by Golf Week.
As a matter of fact, to see all the USA Today Network podcasts, including podcasts from NFL and NBA, go to podcast.usatoday.com.